What's up, everybody? This is Nick Brent. Thanks for joining us for a Circuit Rider podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions movement in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. You are listening to a Circuit Rider podcast.
Thanks, Zach. Wow, I just feel so loved. I feel the love in this room. How are you guys doing this morning?
Yeah.
How were the CRX games on Friday?
Yeah.
Was there a clear winner? Is there a team winner?
Yeah.
Stand up if you were on the winning team. Whoa, whoa, there you are, there you are, there you are. Guys, I just love those CRX games. They're so wild. I hope you guys had fun. I don't think we had like 15 colors. It was an insane amount of colors. But you went for it. You guys all color-coded. I heard it was amazing, so I'm glad it was just a fun out-of-the-box moment. Well, I'm super stoked to be here. The first thing I want to say out of the gate, first thing, Freedom Week is actually wrongly labeled, okay? I want you to hear this. Freedom Week is a lie. It doesn't happen in a week. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
All right, I want to pop the pressure bubble right now of you feeling any pressure to get free of all your stuff in 1 week. It ain't gonna happen, okay? So the thing you got to know about freedom and everything that we're going to go through in this manual, which is my favorite, by the way, is it's meant to be a lifestyle. I go through this freedom manual to this day. If I feel something starting to eat my lunch and bully me, I live a lifestyle of freedom. It's one of the secrets of the Circuit Riders. It's such an important culture in our community because you never graduate from freedom. What we're going to do this week is we're going to talk about some things that maybe might have happened in your past that are affecting you today. We're going to unpack some of that. But even as you go forward, we all know we live in a broken world. So stuff is still going to happen to you that you're going to have to get free of. Somebody's going to say something. You're going to have a spirit of unbelief come against you or something that challenges you. And freedom is just part of the way that Jesus designed us to live in this world, okay? So right now, just I want you to be totally pressure-free that this is not a week where you're going to just come out. You are going to feel different. I believe that. But just know it's going to be like an onion, layer upon layer. You got me? You feel it? All right. Is the pressure popped? Pop that pressure. Okay. Let me just share a couple quick minutes about me, and then I'm going to dive in. But if I can, just indulge me. I want to tell you why I'm so passionate about freedom. Before I came into missions, which was like 17 years ago, I've been in YWAM for 17 years, full-time missionary. I love missions. But before that, I got my degree, an undergraduate in biology, and I got my master's in social work. And my dream was to be a private, be in private practice as a counselor. So I worked in outpatient mental health. I worked in a psychiatric hospital. I worked with adolescents. That was my focus. So I just worked with teenagers and young adults that were struggling with anxiety stuff, depression, suicide, you know, hearing voices, doing all crazy things. And I saw the gamut of it when I was doing, you know, that when I was doing that kind of work. But what got me, I was a new believer, I got saved in college, so here I was, you know, new social worker working in all these environments, and I became more convinced than ever as I began to kind of, I worked at a secular hospital, so I wasn't really, I kind of had my hands tied in terms of how much I could really use my Bible, although I did sneak it in. I actually used to use the Message version of the Bible in my small groups in the psych hospital, and I would get these kids, these young people talking about the Bible, even though it was really modern day language. I was like, how can I get Bible into these guys? But the Lord eventually led me out of there because I became more and more convinced that Jesus and Jesus alone is the answer for any condition of your soul, for any broken mind, broken heart, broken soul. Jesus is the answer. And I was like, I've got to get into an environment where I can finally like really go after how Jesus wants to intervene in the hearts of men and women and set them free. So now I get the privilege of coming. Then fast forward 10, 15 years later, I finally meet Brian and Christy Brent. And I come across this freedom manual. And oh my gosh, this thing changed my life. I wish I had had it in my early 20s. You guys have so much, such a leg up over me because I wish I would have had it because it breaks it down into such simplicity. Freedom is practical. Freedom has, there is an element of the power of the Holy Spirit, and you can have power encounters that do set you free. We've heard those stories, right, of somebody being addicted to something, power of God comes on them, and suddenly they're not addicted anymore. But that's rare. That's not typically how it works. Your freedom requires a participation of your will and your engagement to walk free. So a lot of it is really practical. It has to do with the Bible. It has to do with things that you do. So I just want to set the tone today that it's exactly what Zach said. I'm training you this week, and all the people that are going to come through this week are training you in order for you to get free. But then how many of you know your freedom isn't just for you? Your freedom is so that you can go to those college campuses that carry the love. You can go back to family members, to brothers and sisters, and walk them through freedom, because there's a whole generation that needs to be free. So I want you to have your thinking caps on this week. I need you to engage kind of with your mind, just because there's a lot of truth that comes with it. This book, let me tell you real quick where this book came from. And I know Christy's not here today, but I just want to shout her out. Brian and Christy Brent in Tacoma, Washington, were pastors of a church. They grew up not believing in the gifts of the Spirit, so they weren't pressing into the gifts of the Spirit, like prophecy or hearing God's voice. But there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that church that began to light them up with the prophetic, so that them and a lot of prayer teams, a lot of people in their church began to hear from the Holy Spirit like never before. And people began to come, and because they were hearing God so clearly, people were getting set free because the Holy Spirit was helping that Tacoma church kind of understand what people were bound from. So the reputation got so big in Tacoma that soon people around the world were coming to Bride and Christie's church to get free. And this manual has come out of literally, not exaggerating, thousands and thousands and thousands of prayer hours where people would come to the altar, they would express what they're struggling with, fear, unbelief, self-hatred, anger, unforgiveness, whatever it was. And these worksheets that are in your manual used to be in a box. And the Tacoma team, the person would come, okay, what do you need? How can I pray for you? Person would say. The Tacoma team would go over to the box, find the worksheet, pull it out, and be like, okay, let's go through this worksheet. Let's repent for these things that you've agreed with. Let's start walking through freedom. And this manual is the culmination of some of those worksheets. There's actually a lot more, but kind of the basics of these worksheets. So it's come out of the Holy Spirit showing how to help the human heart and the human soul walk into freedom. So that's why I love this manual, because it was birthed in prayer. It was birthed through the Holy Spirit and just people really doing the reps of, like, how do you set a generation free? That sound good? So I can't say enough good things about this workbook. Christy has told me multiple times, she believes and she's seen it, if somebody will take this workbook and just read it from cover to cover with a sincere heart, the Holy Spirit will meet you in your hunger and you'll get free. Like, God's so kind. He can't resist a hungry heart that's saying, I want to be free, Dad. Help me be free. I don't want to think this way. I don't want to feel this way. So you're not going to be able to saturate and absorb everything in this book in this week, because it moves too fast. It's 1 week. But what I want to keep just saying to you is, take this manual, put your name in it, don't let it walk away from you, and even past this week, past your DTS, if you come on staff with us next year, you know, when this is all over, you're going to still be walking through this manual and letting the Holy Spirit peel these onions of these layers of onions off you for you to get whole. Amen? Okay. So what is freedom? Freedom, in the essence of freedom is salvation. Freedom, Jesus died to purchase your freedom. But here's what a lot of Christians don't fully understand, is that Jesus, they think Jesus died to set them free from hell and to go to heaven. But how many of you know there's so much more that actually encompasses the freedom that Jesus purchased? If you turn to page 16, let's dive right in, grab your books. There's a Bible verse at the top in that big paragraph. I'm just going to read it to you. It's Luke 19:10, but it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Jesus came to seek you out, to save you because you were lost. But that word "save" is the Greek word "sozo," and that word "sozo" has a lot of power to it. How many of you have heard, like, sozo, inner healing stuff? Maybe you've done that, right? Okay, well, here's what that word sozo means if you've never heard it before. There's six components to it. It's right there on page 16. Deliverance, restoration, protection, preservation, healing, and making you whole. That's a lot of action verbs right there. That's a lot of action that Jesus did. Think about this. Jesus came to deliver you. He came to restore you, to protect you, to preserve you, to heal you, and to make you whole. What that says to me is, in thinking about all my history with people just walking in kind of garden variety, anxiety, sadness, sorrow, garden variety anger, all the way to the psychiatric hospital where there's some major stuff going on. Jesus came for every part of your body, your soul, and your spirit. You are a body. You live in a physical flesh right now. You have a soul. And when the Bible talks about your soul, it's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then you also have a spirit. And it's those three things that are always working together that Jesus is wanting to bring into wholeness. So whether it's physical healing you need in your body, whether it's something in your mind, there's torment, there's something frustrating you, Jesus came for the whole package. There's nothing that he doesn't want to touch. Okay, jump over to page 10. I'm going to jump around these first two chapters because I just want to kind of go over some basic components, okay? 2 Corinthians 1:10, you see it there on page 10. It's kind of towards the bottom. It says, "It is God who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us." Do you catch that? Past, present, and future. Jesus saved you. He delivered you. He is saving you. He is delivering you. And he will save you. He will make you whole. So it's the beauty of past, present, and future. Jesus is always working in your life. That's why freedom and healing is an ongoing process. And until we go to heaven, where there's the absence of evil and the absence of wickedness, that will be the ultimate place of restoration and wholeness. But while we're on this earth, those are the things that Jesus is continuing to bring into wholeness and oneness. If you let Jesus have his way in you, I promise you that in 5 years you won't recognize yourself. If you've walked with Jesus, I know Zach can attest to this, Emily, probably others, but when you've walked with Jesus, I don't recognize the Holly that I was in college. I got saved in college. Literally, my physical countenance changed. I had darkness on me. There was something on me that disfigured me in some way because I was so steeped in rebellion and drugs and guys and all sorts of mess. I was lost as a jaybird. I was so out there. But Jesus has such a capacity to change what you desire, to change how you feel, to change how you think, to change what your goals are in life. I wanted to be in private practice. That I wanted to be the Christian version of Dr. Phil. That was my dream. When I was your age, Oprah had just discovered Dr. Phil, brought him on the scene. I love Dr. Phil, but I was like, I don't think he's a believer. I want to be the Christian version of him. That was my little dream. And God's like, oh, Holly, I love that about you, but I've got something so much more massive and expansive that I want to take you to. I actually want to take you to the nations. I've been to 40 nations. I love missions. And now I get the privilege of teaching to a generation what freedom really looks like. God will change everything about you. So hold it loosely in this day. Because he's coming for you and he's taking you someplace you cannot imagine. It's better than you think or understand, but it's linked to your freedom. I would never be standing here today. Public speaking would have crippled me. I had so much anxiety and insecurity, so much fear of man. I never, ever, ever saw myself doing any type of public speaking. And I would not be here today unless the Lord had broken that off of me over the years. So the same for you. I don't know what it is. You think, I could never do that. I could never do that. But I promise you, when you almost say that, it's almost a guarantee, God's going to put his finger there and say, actually, I'm going to show you how good I am. I'm going to show you how strong I am. You are going to do that thing that you're terrified of because that's how free he wants to make you, okay? All right. Let's talk about salvation for a minute. I felt like the Holy Spirit just wanted us to park on a couple basics of salvation. Because one of the brilliant things about Brian Brent was he never graduated from the basics. Religion always wants to complicate things, make stuff harder than it needs to be. But Brian was like, that's why I love this manual. It's so simple, but whether you're 14 or 45, it's like, it's still such an incredible tool for you. So here's how salvation works. It's like a two-sided coin. On the one side of the coin, when you made that declaration of Jesus, come into my life, Jesus, be Lord of my life, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I receive your blood. You've washed me cleansed. In that moment, you step from one place to another place where you are positionally in Christ, meaning that can never be touched. That righteousness, when you said, I agree, I believe what Jesus did on the cross. So he paid the price that I deserved. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to be eternally punished for my sins. That was the price I should have paid. But Jesus stood in the gap, paid that price for me. I put my faith in that. And now what? Because I put my faith in Jesus, now God puts the righteousness of Jesus on me. And that can never be taken. You can't earn that righteousness. It has nothing to do with your freedom journey. God cannot love you any more in this moment than if you're super free 5 years from now. He's going to love you the exact measure, the same amount. Do you hear me? Because sometimes as Christians, we can think, oh, you know, I got to get free. I got to do my stuff so that God will be more pleased with me and he'll love me more and he'll be more proud of me. And that's not the truth. Because the Bible says when God looks at you now, he doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your brokenness. He sees the righteousness of Christ on you. He sees your original design, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes. He sees Psalm 139. He formed you and knitted you in your mother's womb. So that's the original design that he's looking at. He's not looking at all your failures and mistakes. And that is the mystery of Christ. That's what's so hard for our little human minds to understand, because our interaction here on earth doesn't always tells us that people don't really love me for me. But God loves you for you. And he loves you exactly as you are. So that is the one side of salvation. It's called justification. You were justified by Christ, and you are now in Christ. Your spirit, this is the weird thing, you got to study your Bible, but like in Ephesians, it talks about that you and I, because we're in Christ, we're seated in heavenly places. Now, I don't know how that works, because I'm in the crossing in the loft right now, right? I'm very aware of my natural surroundings. But the spirit of Holly Mosman, the spirit of you, is in heavenly places with Jesus, trying to get the mind of Christ, trying to understand what he's seeing. So our war is kind of having the revelation of like, there is something so secure. I am so secure in the love of God, and I cannot earn my righteousness. Please do not try to earn your righteousness this week or ever. It is not about that. It's because of what Christ did. Mic drop. There's nothing more you have to add to it. And that offends the human mind, because as humans, we want to contribute something. Our flesh is always wanting to prove something, earn something, contribute something. It's part of the fall of human nature. But Jesus is just saying, hey, will you just trust me? Will you just trust that what I did is enough? And you are perfectly acceptable in my sight right now in this moment, before we even start Freedom Week. You are perfectly loved and accepted by God. Okay? So that's the one side of salvation. The other side of salvation is that because of what Christ purchased, he calls you a new creation. He's given you a new nature. He's put the Holy Spirit inside of you. So you are no longer the person that you were before Christ. You are now something new. And this process of you walking out your new creationness is the process called sanctification. And this is the process of freedom. So it has nothing to do about you going to heaven and you having God's love and acceptance and God's pleased with you. You're his son and daughter. All of that is signed, sealed, and delivered. What we're talking about this week is you becoming more and more like Jesus because you love him. And you want to look like him and sound like him and act like him. And so sanctification is the freedom process where you are getting back to your original identity and your original purpose. In the back of this freedom manual, we'll spend later this week, we're going to just have you guys reading Bible verses, preaching them to one another, really trying to saturate this truth. Because part of it is trying to renew the mind so that you come back into alignment with what God says about you. That's the big thing. Okay. So Jesus came to give us freedom, freedom from hell, yes, freedom from the penalty of sin, but also sanctification and freedom. There's three things that Jesus did from the cross. Number one, he set you free from the penalty of sin. Everybody say penalty. The penalty of sin was the wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin, when you make a mistake, when I do something sinful, we typically feel guilt, shame, and condemnation. And Jesus is saying, I came to set you free from that. We're going to hit shame on Friday. We're going to separate as men and women and go after that. But one of the things I hate is when I see a young man or woman just so underneath shame and guilt and condemnation, because Jesus died for that. He died to set you free from that. So that's the penalty of sin. When we do something wrong, we feel those emotions. Or if something cruel or unjust is done to us, I can feel ashamed about what somebody's done to me. But Jesus has come to set you free from that penalty. The second thing, actually, let me say this really quick. I have two friends. I have a couple married that have three kids. And I've watched them as they're not in Circuit Riders, they're in Orange County, but I've watched them as they parented their children. And one of the things I noticed when you're a really good parent and you have to obviously correct your child, you have to discipline your child. You know, Johnny, you hit your sister, you shouldn't have done that. You know, you ate a cookie, I told you not to go in the cookie drawer. You know, kids do things that are wrong. But what this couple did is they were so intentional and repetitive to make sure that every time they disciplined and corrected their children, little Johnny or little Susie, you know, I'm doing this because I love you. You know, mommy and daddy love you, right? Mommy and daddy care about you, but you can't hit your sister. That's not the right thing to do. And they would move in correction or discipline with lots of layers of love and reminding their kids that how they really feel about them. But that just because they messed up in their behavior, it doesn't change how mom and dad feel about you. But this is what happened. As the kids got a little bit older, and they're still all like preschool, elementary age, is that when they screwed up and did something wrong, and mom or dad would call across the room and say something to them, instead of hiding and running from mom and dad, they ran to mom and dad. Did you just hit your sister? Did I just see you smack her on the head? Come here. And they would run, oh, mom, even with tears in their eyes, I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't have done it. She made me so mad, she took my toy. But you run to the parent. You run to the father when you mess up. That's part of the freedom process, is that this is what I realized, because I still mess up. I still have bad days where I'm like, man, I am drinking buckets of unbelief right now. I feel miserable. I'm sorry, Lord. I have no faith right now. I still have days where I feel so weak and powerless, and I'm not believing the truth of the Bible. But what I've learned over the years is that if I'm quicker to run to Jesus, even when I'm still dealing with sin or dealing with the brokenness, he's so quick to scoop me up every time. Come here, Holly. Come in here. I love you. My love for you hasn't changed, even though you're wrestling. Does that make sense? It's such a key thing. So the penalty, getting rid of shame, guilt, and condemnation, so you'll run to the Father, not away from him. Thank you. Simeon's so encouraging. All right, the second thing that Jesus came to set you free from was the power of sin. Everybody say power.
Power.
You have more power than you realize. The power of Jesus is incomparable to any demonic power. It's not even a contest. It's not God and the enemy showing off like as peers. The power of Christ's authority, which is in you, we're going to talk about this on Thursday, gives you the power to ekbalo, to violently thrust out anything that is coming against you. But Christ's power is connected to some other things that you carry, that you and you alone carry. And that is your power of your forgiveness. The power of your agreement. What comes out of your mouth that you agree with? Are you agreeing with heaven or are you agreeing with hell? Because both kingdoms are making statements about you. And it's in the atmosphere over your soul. So as those flyby thoughts shoom, come across, I suck. Am I going to verbally, yeah, I do suck. Or am I going to move in the, no, I cancel that thought. I am made in the image of Christ. I don't care how I feel right now. I'm agreeing with heaven over who I am. So the power of your agreement, I think Nick's going to talk about that tonight at the Monday night. It's going to be so good. The power of your repentance. This is a big tool we're going to talk about this week. Repentance is an exercise, a tool that we're going to want you to become so familiar with because it's powerful. The enemy doesn't want your generation to know just how powerful it is. I have faith to believe when I first came to Circuit Riders and Circuit Riders was born, I was here at the beginning, I was getting all this freedom prayer. I remember coming into prayer times and I felt like I had like five blankets on me. Have you ever felt so oppressed? You just felt so weighed down, like just heavy. And I remember going into a prayer time, and usually the Lord would show me things that I needed to repent for, people I needed to forgive. And I would literally come out of that prayer time feeling like physically 100 pounds lighter. There is such a spiritual transaction that happens when we move into repentance, when we move into forgiveness. The world wants you to think that these weapons are weak. But the Bible says that we don't use the weapons of the world. We use the weapons of heaven that are strong for pulling down strongholds and philosophies and things that are high and above. It's the power of Jesus and the gifts he's given us. Okay. So why aren't more Christians walking in freedom? Jesus purchased it. It can be ours. It's found in salvation, sozo power, all the things that Jesus did. Why aren't more Christians? Thank you. I see that hand. I'm going to give the answer for the sake of time, but I'm sure there could be like 10 answers. But if you hear about it, I don't know what the stats are. I haven't looked. But, you know, before it was like the divorce rate inside the church was the same as outside the church. I don't think depression and anxiety rates are that much different inside the church versus outside the church, right? In many ways, for some Christians, I won't say all, but for some Christians, there's a lot that are still living really defeated. And when you look at them as Christians, you're like, man, what has Jesus really done for you? Am I the only one that sometimes, right, you see that? But here's the raw answer of why more Christians don't walk in freedom. It's super simple. It takes a lot of hard work. And it takes self-discipline. Freedom implies that there's a battle. There's a war. Just ask the Ukrainians. They have an enemy that's encroaching on their land. You have an enemy that's encroaching on your land. He's trying to take your mind. He's trying to take your emotions. He's trying to take your destiny. He's encroaching on you to whatever degree. And just like the Ukrainians are having to fight back, to push out the enemy, so you will have to do in your fight for freedom. If you look at any people group, the civil rights movement, any war in history, it was always a battle to fight for freedom. And so there's an apathy in the land today. There's an apathy in Christianity that says, well, does it really take all that? Like, to renew my mind, do I really have to memorize Bible verses? Like, do I really need to read, do I have to read my Bible every day? Yeah, you probably do. If you're taking back ground from the enemy, you've got to be willing to do whatever it takes. So there will be cost and sacrifice for your freedom. There'll be a cost and sacrifice to take the land that God wants you to take. It's unwinding patterns of thinking and patterns of feeling that you've grown up with since childhood that seem normal to you. But now this week is going to begin to put the Holy Spirit spotlight on some of those ways of thinking and feeling. And the Lord's going to say, beloved, take my hand. This is going to be a journey, but we're going to unwind this together. Because this isn't how you should be thinking, and it isn't how you should be feeling. But it's a process. It's an ongoing thing. The enemy doesn't want you to know that you can be free. He doesn't want you to know how to be free. Right? Why would he want you? You're scary to him. This is, we feel so weak and small as humans sometimes, so weak and insignificant. And the enemy loves it when we're in that mentality, because you guys, especially Gen Z, as wild. I feel one of my private dreams is, because I was in counseling, was to see like psychiatric hospitals just cleared out, like just the demonized and the tormented. You see them in downtown Huntington Beach, just such power and victory and authority coming out an army of Christians, just setting the captives free. If you go to other nations with other religions, you see people under it. Women wearing burqas, so much oppression, so much heaviness. And I have faith to believe that Gen Z, because of your zeal and your courage and your boldness, is meant to be one of the most victorious generations, where you are not defeated Christians, but you're very powerful in the hand of the Lord. You're very powerful in the hand of the Lord. But that power is going to require you to get free. You're going to have to do your stuff in order to take hold. So you're like kind of almost like a garden hose. You remember when a garden hose, you turn on the faucet and the water's coming through. But if there's a kink in the garden hose, the water doesn't come out. That's the power of Jesus wanting to come through you. But that kink in the garden hose, however many kinks it is blocking the power and the flow and the authority of Jesus. So freedom is about getting those things unwind so that the power of the water can flow through you. It's kind of the image I use. Okay, go to page 12. We're going to read a Bible verse together. You guys love your Bible?
Yeah.
It'll change your life. Okay, on page 12, you'll see under number 1, to know and understand the character and nature of God. Let's read together that Bible verse right underneath number 1. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. That's it, guys. That's basic building block number 1 that will never change for your entire life. You have to be transformed into a new person by changing the way you think. And that has to line up with all of the truth and promises of God. One of the things the Lord spoke to me, probably within the last year, I was wrestling with something with the Lord. I was having a hard time believing a promise that God had spoken to me. And I just was having a fit. You know, I just had a lot of unbelief and fear and insecurity. I was having this thing. And the Lord broke into my thoughts. And He said, Holly, take me at my word. Take me at my word. And as I unpacked that, I was like, wow, Lord, like, I do take you at your word. But I realize because we live in a culture where maybe we see people take marriage vows and those marriage vows don't last. People make promises to us and they don't fulfill those promises. We say things ourselves like, yeah, I'll go with you tomorrow. I'll pick you up at 5 and we'll go. And then within 6 hours, yeah, actually, I don't want to go. I'm not going to pick you up. Find another ride, right? We're often not a people of our own word. What we have to remember is God's word is not like human word. He is not a fickle God where He's flipping. Take God at His word. Cling to it. Hold on to it with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it will begin to change the way you think, and you will move into power and freedom like you have not known. Let me show you something. Let's read on the next same page, page 12, you see on stronghold of unforgiveness. Let's read that paragraph out loud together, and I want to show you something. Ready, set, go. God never withholds forgiveness for those who come to Him. We are completely forgiven for our sins through the work of Jesus on the cross. God does not function in resentment towards us or carry a personal grudge over our sin. He does not sit around complaining and criticizing us behind our backs. God is patient and enduring in His love toward us. We cannot wear God out. God never thinks about whether or not He's going to forgive us, nor does He say, I forgive you, but not mean it. God rejoices over just one sinner who repents. He does not compare us to other people, nor pout when we refuse to do what He asks. Amen. His nature and character is love, and it is unconditional. As we remove bitterness, resentment, and buried anger from our lives, by granting full forgiveness to people, we will begin to walk in a greater revelation of the love Christ has for us. We will become more and more like Christ and therefore have deeper intimacy and joy in our relationship with God as well. How many of us in this room, don't raise your hands, really believe that paragraph? Trust that paragraph with all of our heart, saying this is how God feels about me 24/7, 365. He's never pouting over me. He's never withdrawing from me. He's never withholding from me. He is always moving towards you in love. My hunch is that all of us, maybe different levels of percentage, struggle to believe the truth of that paragraph. But that paragraph is backed up by hundreds of scriptures. God is never frustrated with you. He's not pouting. He's not angry at you. He is always moving towards you. There's no resentment in Him. He's not complaining about you. He's not, however long your freedom is going to take in a certain category of your life, God isn't secretly up there in heaven, you know, bothered about it and complaining and criticizing you. He's like, why can't Holly get her act together quicker? Like, really? But we do that to other people. The danger of what we do is we project our humanness onto God. Because we live in such a broken and fallen, it's all we know. A lot of us haven't known unconditional love. Took me a long time to understand. I didn't necessarily grow up in a household where I felt that. So therefore, when you tell me, Holly, God loves you unconditionally, I'm kind of like, I don't have a place to put it. But me believing and understanding and deeply knowing that God loves me unconditionally is linked to my freedom, because it makes me feel secure and safe and whole, which is then how I begin to walk things out. So the whole, we're going to talk about strongholds tomorrow, but this paragraph, let's read another one about fear really quick, just to keep going deeper. Page 13, the very next page at the bottom, you see stronghold of fear. Let's read this one. Fear restricts us from truly expressing the passions of our hearts. Fear of other people keeps us living in other people's minds, constantly seeking their approval. Fear constricts us from stepping into our true design and destiny. The Bible tells us that there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. The stronghold of fear keeps us at a distance so that we never truly experience the depth of Jesus' love for us. As more and more fear is removed, greater trust and peace will pour out on our lives. So these are really common categories of freedom. Fear. Everyone in this room has fear. I don't care who you are, how bold you are. You can dance like David for 10 hours in front of the stage. I do not care. You've got a freedom issue. There's usually fear of man, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of the unknown, fear of the future. It's a common condition of the human heart. But God is pointing out to us, hey, it's so important that we understand, and that's what this whole week's going to be about, connecting dots for you, to be like, where does that fear come from? Okay, what do I need to do to help kind of pull the roots of it? And then what do I need to do so I begin to start thinking different in these different areas of fear? Because if we clear fear out of the way, it means that I'm able to position myself to receive more of the truth and intimacy of not just closer friendship with God, but closer friendship with others. I remember when I was a young believer, and I was just maybe, I don't know, a couple years saved, or I don't know how long, but I used to ask God a question, and then I literally would wince, afraid of what God was going to say to me. I had so much fear of, like, of God being angry at me or punishing me or being upset with me. I would be like, oh, I was dating a guy, and I wanted to marry him. That was a big thing. Like, God, can I marry this guy? And then I was like, oh, I'm afraid of what God's going to say, because I didn't trust God's love for me. I didn't trust that anything that God would say to me would be for my highest good and my highest benefit. So my fear, I never really heard God, because fear is an intimacy blocker. It blocks intimacy. So if you imagine a pipeline from you to heaven that's hearing God's voice, any kind of fear blocks that ability to commune and fellowship and have conversation with God. So if you're a little frustrated, this is your second week of DTS, if you feel like you're not hearing God really well, hey, don't be discouraged. We might just need to clear out some fear and unbelief. And once you start tackling those things in a few weeks or months or whatever, suddenly that waterfall begins to flow and you're hearing God like you've never heard him before. It's just the ways of God. So freedom is about you going back to your identity, back to your original purpose to move forward. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up. Stand to your feet. We're going to pray through a couple of things, then I'm going to hand it over to Emily. You guys doing okay? You sure? I came out of the gate pretty strong. It's always my way. I'm sorry. I love you guys so much. I'm excited because this happens every DTS. And like a year from now, 2 years from now, you're going to be sitting on my couch. We're going to be friends. At least the girls. Sorry, guys. You can go sit on Zach's couch. I have girls over at my house. Do the whole girl, girl, guy, guy thing. But I just love it. And we look back. Like, remember what DTS were you in? I was in that DTS of the fall of 2022, that really big one. We begin to talk about how much you've changed and how far God's brought you. It's just the way of the Holy Spirit. So anything you hear from the stage today, do not be discouraged or intimidated. Jesus is going to meet you. He's crazy in love with you. You're the apple of his eye. He can't get you off his mind. He just is enamored with you. He's always moving towards you. He's never running from you. He is constantly moving towards you. Anything you need, it's his nature. And so I just always want to be sensitive to this. Okay, we're going to pray through three things. There are three things that you can agree to that will accelerate your freedom in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. Three things. You ready? Okay. The first thing is engaging your will. Everybody say, engage my will. The good news is you will be as free as you want to be. You will be as free as you want to be. But just like I said earlier, there's a cost to it. There's a sacrifice. I can't do it for you. This is the painful thing when you get free and then you see other family members that aren't free or friends. The painful thing is you so want them to know what you know and to see what you see and to have the revelation, but you can't choose freedom for them. Because freedom has to do with your will of forgiving, repenting, choosing to think differently, choose new truth to hold on to, you can't do that for someone else. It's a very internal process with the Holy Spirit in each person. So you have to engage your will and you will be as free as you want to be. Everybody say humility.
Humility.
The Lord gave me this picture one time when I was resisting truth, because that's usually what freedom is the Lord or the scriptures are trying to inject truth. And I was fighting it. I was having a hard time believing it. And the Lord showed me this picture one time. He said, Holly, I want you to humble yourself before the truth. I want you to take a knee, and I want you to imagine that I am tearing down every mountain that I have made of what I think, and I am deconstructing, I'm dismantling all the philosophies and ways that I think, and I'm allowing God to build a new mountain of his truth, and I'm going to take a knee to it. I'm going to bow to the truth of Jesus. It requires humility and teachability, because you're going to hear things this week. You're going to hear statements this week that seem so simple, but you have to be humble in your heart to say, I don't care how I feel, because your feelings lie to you. Do you know that? The thing I learned when I was a young believer is that your feelings are the caboose of the train, and the engine of your train is the facts and the scriptures of the Bible. That's what needs to drive your life. And eventually, when that thing gets roaring, that little caboose, those feelings will eventually line up and will fall into sync with what the scriptures say. But you cannot be led by your emotions. So this week, as we're in pairs and small groups doing things, you may not feel like some of the statements that I'm going to ask you to make. I don't care. I don't care how you feel. I want your mouth to agree with heaven, because it's linked to your freedom. And friends, that will be your whole life. I still have days where I don't feel full of faith, but I have to declare, I am a woman full of faith, and I choose faith, and I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to trust God. It's a constant discipline of your emotions of not doing that. So humility. Last one, surrendering to the truth. I already said that. So I want you to take this next 60 seconds. I want you in your own voice to cry out to God for 60 seconds, telling him that you want to engage your will, you're choosing humility and teachability, and you're choosing to surrender to the truth. You got it? Engage your will, humility, surrender to the truth. Just cry out to God for 60 seconds. Go for it, in Jesus' name. God, I just pray, Lord, that they would just, with all their heart, God, Lord, just that you would pour out teachability, pour out humility, God. Engage their will, Jesus, whatever it takes, God, they're willing to be free. Father, give them courage. Give him boldness. Give him the sacrifice, God, to do whatever is needed to be free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God. Help them to surrender to the truth, to yield themselves to the truth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God. Holy Spirit, fill him. Holy Spirit, fill him. Holy Spirit, fill him, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God. Okay, let's say this real quick and say this together real fast. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I want to be free.
I want to be free.
I choose to be free.
I choose to be free.
Jesus.
Jesus.
I want to do.
I
want to
do.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
To walk in my newness.
To walk in my newness.
I choose courage.
I choose courage.
I choose humility.
I choose humility.
I choose to surrender.
I choose to surrender.
Whatever it takes, Jesus.
Whatever it takes.
I want to run
into all the goodness
that you have for me.
Help me to renew my mind.
Help me to follow your word
so that we can have a good time.
In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I love you guys.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at circuitriders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.